A pleasant good morning wherever you are. Welcome to the 15th day of February 2020 broadcast of Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead. And as always, that's me. We're coming to you with the miracles of modern technology and the magic of 21st century broadcasting through the renowned studios of Radio 1490 WGCH in Cambridge, Connecticut, USA. We're also streaming online all four corners of the world through WGCCH.com anywhere. I'm looking outside the window this morning. It's a beautiful blue, sunny sky kind of day, and we have a great show for you. So without any further ado, let's get started.
Coming up on today's show.
My guest today is nationally acclaimed documentarian Rick Kwan, who is on the phone with us from Honolulu, Hawaii. His latest project focuses on one of the first Chinese-American lawyers in American history, an extraordinary man who tenaciously spent his life battling racist immigration laws, emerged to become the national president of the Chinese-American Citizen Alliance, and helped found the new Chinatown in Los Angeles, California. His name, Y.C. Hong. We're going to have my conversation with Rick Kwan and a lot more as the show unfolds. So stick around.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
It's a new year. I'm inviting you to do something extraordinary. A new approach to modern health, created by nature, crafted by Modare. At Modare, they believe you deserve safe, effective, and clean products you can use daily. Modare is committed to helping you reduce, even eliminate, your exposure to controversial chemicals so you and your family can enjoy a safe, healthy home environment. Do you know I use Modare's award-winning Super Nutraceutical Liquid BioCell featuring its patented collagen HA matrix? Say yes to Modare. I did, and I'm better for it. Now, you can learn more at modare.com. That's M-O-D-E-R-E.com. Or call 877-MODARE-1 or 1-877-663-3731 today. That's 1-877-663-3731 today. That's a new approach to modern health, created by nature, crafted by Modare.
Welcome to Conversations with Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host.
My guest today is nationally acclaimed documentarian Rick Kwan, who is on the phone with us from Honolulu. His latest project focuses on one of the first Chinese-American lawyers in American history, an extraordinary man who tenaciously spent his life battling racist immigration laws and emerged to become national president of the Chinese-American Citizens Alliance and helped found the new Chinatown in Los Angeles. His name, Y.C. Hong. Rick Kwan, aloha kakiaka, and welcome to the show. As always, we're delighted to have you with us today. How are you?
Aloha.
Oh, you do that very well. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's kind of, you know, I'm in Greenwich, Connecticut right now, and you're in Honolulu, and I'm like, I'm supposed to be there right now. Well, you know, extenuating circumstances, it's the way of things in this day and age, so what are you going to do? All right.
Yeah. Well, next time you're out here, we have to get together.
Oh, most,
it's always good to be on your show.
Thanks. Oh, most definitely. Yes. Yes, welcome back. It is so glad to have you. All right. Now, you've been on this show and the previous Marvels of China, Pathways to the Pacific Rim show before. Now, tell us again a little about yourself and also how you recently ended up being back in Honolulu.
Okay. Just a little bit about myself. I've been in, I was a TV sportscaster for many years, like 30 years or so. I was working in Honolulu, and then I moved over to San Francisco and worked for the ABC and CBS affiliates. And just recently, I took a break from that and began making documentaries. And when I was here in November for the Hawaii International Film Festival, I called up an old friend of mine who's the news director at the ABC affiliate here and just asked her, hey, you want to go grab lunch or dinner while I'm visiting? And it turned out that she was looking for a new male anchor for their 10 o'clock newscast and asked if I'd be interested in applying for the job. And I did, and that's how I wound up here in Honolulu.
And presto, there you are.
Yeah. Well, yeah, things work out for a certain reason, I guess.
Yes, you know, so,
very happy.
Somebody's watching over you. I think that's really fantastic. Well, congratulations. All right, well. A Chinese-American giant, the YC Hong story, focuses on a man who emerged as a force to be reckoned with, in my view, with during the Chinese exclusion era. And I was wondering if you would just give us the backstory on that.
Well, how I came about this story in the first place is I did not know of YC Hong at all, but a good friend of mine named Karen Wong was working on a book about a Disney artist named Tyrus. You might know of him. He became very famous for his work on the movie Bambi.
Oh, yes.
And anyway, yeah. And so Tyrus and YC were good friends. In fact, Tyrus's wife worked as a secretary for YC. Mm. And so Karen came across this relationship and YC's story and said, Rick, you know, this guy has a fascinating background. Plus, she knew my older brother is an immigration lawyer and that my father had worked with CACA, the Chinese American Citizens Alliance. Mm. And so she thought, you know, you'd be perfect to do this story. But he practiced down in Los Angeles. I was in San Francisco at the time, so I wasn't sure if I could make the travel work for me. But I did take a trip down to L.A. and looked around and did some research. And it turns out that YC's office, which is in the New Chinatown area, has been preserved to look just like it did when he was practicing law from the 1930s through the 1970s. Hmm. And so seeing his office preserved the way it was, it's just like, wow, this is great. It's like stepping back in time. And I knew that it would give me some of the basic visuals I would need to help tell the story of YC. So it kind of took off from there. And then it turns out the Huntington Library had done an exhibit on YC several years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago. And they had a lot of his old photos, film, documents, his papers. And so, again, they provided a lot of the visuals that I would need to be able to tell the story effectively.
Mm-hmm. Oh, indeed. Now, tell us about your research and your sources of information. For example, you had the privilege, and I saw this, I think, on your trailer. You had the privilege of interviewing YC Hong's secretary, Bernice Leung, his son, Nolan Hong, and others. And so tell us about what that was like.
Well, Bernice especially, you know, she's now 102 years old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's amazing. She lives in Fresno now. But when I was told, I mean, there aren't that many people who knew YC firsthand. And she's one of the few survivors. And so when I heard that she was living in Fresno, I said, we got to get down there now. You know, she was 101 at the time. It's like, you know, we don't know how much time she has left. But we got there, and she was an absolute delight. Still very sharp, had a lot of great memories about YC. And from what I was told, she had never really talked publicly or on record about what YC was all about, how much he meant to the community. So I was very honored that she gave me that opportunity to film her and get her thoughts about YC and their relationship and just what a great man he was. And then his son, Nolan, who's now in his late 80s, I was able to interview him as well. YC had two sons, Nolan and Roger. Roger passed away already, but Nolan, he's still practicing. In fact, he's a lawyer himself, and he was able to provide me a lot of great information about what it was like growing up as a son of YC Hong and some of his accomplishments that he achieved during his lifetime. So it was just a fascinating story for me to learn about and educate myself about, and hopefully we'll be able to share with a wider audience now.
Oh, fantastic. Now, I have to tell you, I smiled when I saw the title of this documentary referring to YC Hong as a Chinese-American giant, which he was. There's no disagreement here, but let's tweak this a little bit and shed some light on that. Tell me about that and the rest, too. Yeah.
Well, the reason you probably smiled is because you know, YC was only 4 feet 5.5 inches tall, which is, short even for Chinese. I mean, and unfortunately, what happened was, according to his son Nolan, that when he was a small child, an uncle was tossing him in the air, as people like to do with little kids, and the uncle dropped him, and that caused an injury to his back, which stunted his growth. So he never grew taller than 4 feet 5.5 inches.
Oh, wow.
But I guess what I found so inspiring about that was, you know, in our society, unless you look a certain way or whatever, you're often not given much respect. Mm. But this man, you know, he was, for one, being discriminated against because of his Chinese background, and plus because he was extremely short. But he didn't let those things stand in his way, and he went on to become this great community leader. So when I was trying to think of a title for this documentary, I thought a Chinese American giant. That really, I think, suits the bill and pays respect to this man.
I absolutely am with you on that. Totally, 125%. Absolutely, if that's possible. Yeah, it was excellent, excellent. Yeah. All right. Now, Y.C. Hong, it seems to me he was very astute in a sense. That he understood the need to engage politicians and to work within the political system. And am I right on this? So share some thoughts on that.
Yeah, he was, I guess, maybe a little ahead of his time almost, or I don't know. He was thinking outside the box, because so very often the Chinese would kind of stay to themselves and their communities. But he understood that the politicians were the ones that had the power. And the only way to change things was to gain access to those politicians. So, you know, he would take them out to dinner, invite them to his office to have Chinese food. You know, he did everything he could to develop these friendships so that they knew who he was. But at the same time, you know, these politicians knew that YC was very important in the Chinese American community. So they wanted to be associated with him as well. So it was a mutual relationship here where both we're getting something out of it. But I think before then, not a lot of people really reached out to the mostly white politicians that were out there. But he took it upon himself to do that. And in the documentary, you'll see that, you know, he was posing for pictures with Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon, you know, who were both governors of California at the time. And so, you know, when I saw the picture of him with Ronald Reagan, I said, wow, look at that. Both future presidents, Nixon and Reagan, yes. And yet YC knew these guys firsthand. So, he was very astute about making that connection with the politicians.
Mm, smart man. Very smart man indeed. Wow. Now, my friends, we're going to take a short break. With us by phone from Honolulu, Hawaii, is Rick Kwan. His latest documentary project sheds light as never before on Y.C. Hong, one of the first Chinese-American lawyers in this country, a fearless force to be reckoned with and a pioneer of reform that we still live with today. Don't go away.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
This is Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead on Radio 1490 WGCH.com anywhere, and now on 105.5 FM, Stamford, Connecticut, USA. Contact me anytime by email at radioasiatoday@gmail.com. Learn more about the show at radioasiatoday.blogspot.com. Can't listen in real time? Well, we understand, and we've got you covered. All of our shows are freely available through the news blog on podcast.com. SoundCloud.com and the shows and hosts section of WGCH.com. You're invited to support the show in any amount through our GoFundMe campaign at GoFundMe.com. Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead broadcasts to the world every Saturday morning starting 10:30 a.m. Eastern USA time. As always, thank you for your interest and for listening. Welcome back to Conversations on the Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead Show on Radio 1490 WGCH Greenwich, Connecticut, and WGCH.com anywhere. My guest today is acclaimed documentarian Rick Kwan. His latest project is A Chinese American Giant, The YC Hong Story. Rick, thank you for staying with us through the break.
No problem.
No, good, good. All right, now tell us about the Chinese American Citizens Alliance and about his term as president.
Well, the Chinese American Citizens Alliance is the oldest Asian American civil rights organization in the country. It was actually organized way back in 1895. And YC was the, well, there's several lodges across the country, I think more than 20 lodges. And YC was the president of the Los Angeles Lodge for more than a decade. This was back in the late 20s, 1930s. And he was also later the Grand Lodge president, that is the president of the entire CACA in the early 1950s. But what stood out was that, you know, again, he was a lawyer, and this was during a time where the Chinese Exclusion Act was still in effect. There weren't very many Chinese-American immigration lawyers either, and he kind of took it upon himself to say, hey, you know, let's go to Washington. We want to lobby there, let the politicians know that these laws were unfair. And at that time, people, you know, Chinese just didn't do that type of thing. Yeah. But he, you know, led a lobbying group to D.C. He was able to qualify himself to appear before the Supreme Court. He spoke before a Senate hearing committee. Just very admirable that he would take it upon himself to say, hey, we have our rights, too, and we're going to fight for them.
Yeah, very good. Now, in your promotional trailer, there was mention on Y.C. Hong's vision for, quote unquote, what is called Chinese ownership. Talk to me about that. What was that about?
Well, Y.C. himself, well, this is back in the 1930s, early 1930s. He tried to buy a home for himself in Los Angeles, and because of the laws at the time, he could not buy the property himself outright. So he had to go through a friend of his who, from what I understand, he gave him the money to buy the house that he wanted. And then the white person who bought it for him was able to transfer the property to him. And so that's how he was able to get that house. Mm. I think that stuck with him.
Yeah.
So later when the new Chinatown was being built, he wanted to try to make it available so that other Chinese could own property in the new Chinatown.
Sure.
So that was something special to him. I think that was something close to his heart. And so, and another thing about that Chinatown, it was actually designed with Chinese American input. A lot of the Chinatowns, like in San Francisco, New York, whatever, basically the Chinese were kind of pushed into that area, and that's where they wound up. They wanted to design and make it look the way they wanted to in Los Angeles.
Sure.
So that was special to him.
Mm-hmm. And rightfully so. Now, shed some light about his personal life.
I think when I think of his personal, I think about his marriage to this woman named Mabel Chen, who was, from what I understand, quite a catch. She was very popular with the guys. She was outstanding in her own right. She graduated from Oregon State. I don't think at that time very many Chinese American women were even going to college.
Yeah.
But she graduated with a degree from Oregon State. She's a very strong-willed woman, too, from what I understand. She had a lot of great ideas of herself. But the way that I understand that YC won her over was that he would write her hundreds of letters daily. He would keep in contact with her, talking about, you know, come to Los Angeles, I'll take care of you, and things like that. A bit of a romantic, I
sure,
guess.
Yeah.
And he also was, you know, I think she was charmed by his ambition, that she saw also in this man that, you know, despite his physical shortcomings in height, he had a practice, and it was thriving, and he was a strong person in himself. So I think they made a nice couple. They kind of complemented each other that way. So that part of his personality, I found out, you know, through talking to Nolan. But Nolan also told me about what a doting father he was. I think because YC grew up in poverty and had very little, he made sure his kids had basically all the toys they wanted. He got them, you know, these train sets. And everything. He has showed me some pictures of Christmas time, and they just had more toys, you know, than they wanted. But he also wanted to make a point to his kids that they were not just Chinese, but Chinese American.
Yes.
So he got them involved in Boy Scouts and typical, you know, American things you do as a boy growing up in the U.S.
Fantastic.
So that's the type of person he was.
Wow, that's great. Now as we start to close, what do you want us to come away with after viewing A Chinese American Giant, the Y.C. Hong story, and tell us what you think his legacy is?
Well, I think I want people to be inspired by his story, to learn about this man, because like myself, I had not known about Y.C. Before, but I think he's someone that should be he looked up to, ironically, because despite his short size, he should be someone to look up to. He should be someone that should be recognized for all the work that he did during a very difficult time for Chinese immigration. He handled more than 7,600 immigration cases during his 50 years of practice. And I just want people to know what a great figure he was in the story of Chinese Americans in the United States.
Sure, sure. Now, how can our audience view the, this extraordinary story and learn more, and then share any final thoughts that you have?
Well, right now it's not available to the public. I have entered it in several Asian American film festivals. I have not been notified yet if I made the festival yet. I'll find out in March, but I've entered it in festivals in Houston, Washington, San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles. So hopefully it'll be accepted into these film festivals and you'll be able to see it then. Mm-hmm. Also, the Huntington Library is celebrating its centennial anniversary this year. The Huntington, by the way, in case people don't know, it's near Pasadena, California. And it's quite a place. It has a lot of prestige to it. Anyway, they plan to show it in September sometime. They haven't set an exact date, but they do have a very nice theater there, and they will show the documentary at that time at the Huntington near Pasadena.
Well, I'll tell you, the minute that you find out, send me an email. I will be more than happy to publicize it here on the show and online as well, because really, I think that this is something that we all need to take note of, and we need to learn about this man and his remarkable example, and we would be the better for it. So so that's it. I mean, really, this is great. So, Rick Kwan, you have once again, you have shed light on an American we can all admire and learn from through your latest documentary, A Chinese American Giant, The Y.C. Fong Story. I want to congratulate you again on your return to KITV 4 Island News.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You know, I mean, and send my aloha to everyone in Hawaii. So, as we like to say, mahalo nui loa for being with us today. Thank you for being with us.
Always a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you very much, Jeffrey.
Anytime, anytime.
You're listening to Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead on Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and WGCH.com anywhere via live audio streaming. This is Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead, and I am your host here on Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and WGCH.com anywhere. Shows like Asia Today rely upon sponsors, advertisers, and underwriters who care about the programming experiences we provide. Private support is the lifeblood of our ability to connect you and our global audience across time zones and cultures. Our ongoing mission is to present listeners like you with discerning, in-depth, cross-cultural content that enlightens, educates, and expands our horizons. We've set up a GoFundMe campaign on Facebook and on RadioAsiaToday.blogspot.com. We also invite you to contact the station at WGCH.com, call 203-869-1490, or email sales@WGCH.com. If you have something to say or announce to the world, radio is the most effective way to do it. We're in the business of helping you succeed. The Pacific Learning Consortium is synonymous with the pursuit of long-lasting cross-cultural relationships with an eye for excellence. It's committed to developing intercultural and international relationships between people and organizations, making it a leader in bringing people and ideas together, too. The Pacific Learning Consortium's mission is to help engage diverse communities, shape trusting relationships through friendship, constructive collaboration, while investing its talents and energies in the success of every client and every enterprise. In an increasingly globally connected world pivoting to the Indo-Pacific Asia region, you need a partner that you can trust. The Pacific Learning Consortium focuses on delivering customized services, connecting and nurturing our clients in the fields of education, media, civic affairs, and business. You're invited to explore how an alliance with the Pacific Learning Consortium can help you. Learn more at pacificlearningconsortium.org, call 808-721-0306, or email pacificlearningconsortium@gmail.com. Needless to say, news of the coronavirus that started in Wuhan, China, has been on the forefront of the news around the world. One of the consequences has been, as I recently learned, is that we have thousands of young Chinese nationals enrolled in American high schools, colleges, and universities who literally cannot return home due to travel restrictions that have been imposed by government authorities, and of course, for good reason. Now, the other day I was contacted by a firm in Beijing with a special request, one that I am happy to accept, although I do so with a bit of humility and a bit sadness by the circumstances that we are living under. Now, next month, I'm going to be escorting and teaching a group of Chinese high school students. The program that I was asked to formulate and create focuses on American culture and English language development. Now, I was originally scheduled to fly back home in Hawaii to conduct a similar program, a group of medical scientists from Japan. I'd like to express my thanks to my colleagues at Kapi'olani Community College for supporting my decision to stay here on the East Coast and work with these Chinese students. You are no ka'oi, which in Hawaiian language means the best, so thank you very much. Now, across America, in towns and cities and college campuses everywhere, we have Chinese nationals who are also unable to return to their home China. I'm asking all of my fellow Americans to open your hearts and give these young people your generosity and support. People-to-people contact between Americans and the peoples of Asia's vast and diverse nations is in part what this show is all about. Let's look forward to the day when the coronavirus contagion is behind us as we make friends and look after those who, through no fault of their own and themselves, are unable to reunite with families and loved ones in China. From the bottom of my heart, my friends, I thank you very, very, very much. Before we sign off, I wanted to extend my sincerest thanks to the following for making the February 15, 2020 broadcast possible: Catherine Lodnier and John Mickey Robinson, Sue Hill McClenachan, and Kevin M.J. O'Connor of the Jeffrey Matthews Group, and listeners to the Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead show around the world. You're invited to make future broadcasts possible through our GoFundMe campaign or contact me at radioasiatoday@gmail.com about advertising. We'd love to have. Thank you. Japan's Imperial House in the post-war era, 1945 to 1949, is a new book that was just released by a very good friend of mine and former guest on this show, Ken Ruoff. He's going to be coming back on the show in the not-too-distant future. Professor Takashi Hara of Open University of Japan writes, "I am delighted that the incisive analysis of Japan's monarchy in the post-war era provided in The People's Emperor has been updated to include developments up through the enthronement of Emperor Naruhito. This book is a must-read for anyone interested in Japan." My friends, you go and you can get this on Amazon.com right now. Now, the name of the book is Japan's Imperial House in the Post-War Era, 1945 to 1949, by Ken Ruoff. It's published by Harvard University Asia Center. Groundbreaking exhibitions of traditional and contemporary Asian and Asian American art can be found at the Asia Society Museum in New York City. I've invited Dr. Adriana Proser, who is the curator of the Asia Society, to come on the show and to talk about The Art of Impermanence. It's an amazing exhibit that just opened at the Asia Society. Impermanence is a pervasive subject in Japanese thought and art, and through masterpieces of calligraphy, painting, sculpture, ceramics, and more. This is an exhibit that examines Japan's unique and new references to transience. Very, very interesting. And I'll be inviting you to come with me to see this exhibit in the not-too-distant future, so stay tuned. That's all the time we have today. Thank you for tuning in to today's Asia with Jeffrey Bingham Mead show, casting to all four corners of the world from Radio 1490 WGCH in Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and from WGCH.com anywhere via live global streaming over the internet. Again, we thank our supporters for making this show possible. And as we say in Hawaii, ahui ho kakou. Until we meet again, we'll see you next Saturday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern USA time. Bye-bye now.